that we won't have a hymn. Perhaps in your homes you can sing a hymn together after the preaching of God's word. So we come now to the preaching of God's word, and if you would turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, we're going to pick off where we left off last week, John chapter 8. In fact, we'll start reading at verse 37, and we did read 37 and I think 38 last week, but they really tie in with this week's message. So the Gospel of John in chapter 8, picking up our reading at verse 37. The title for today's sermon is True Children of Abraham. Title for today's sermon, True Children of Abraham. We read then God's word, John chapter 8, verse 37. And Christ is continuing his discourse with the Jews. And you remember last week he spoke with those who, while he was speaking, came to believe on them. And we spoke there of perseverance in the faith. We pick up then at verse 37. I know that Jesus speaking, that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of that your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand that I say, it is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. Well, as I mentioned, we looked last week at perseverance in the faith, a true discipleship being shown by steady perseverance in Christ's work. We also looked at the true nature of slavery, and there the total depravity of those bound in sin, that condition in which we all come into the world, the true nature of slavery. And then we looked at the nature of true liberty, that if Jesus Christ sets us free, we shall be free indeed. And that is the only place where true freedom is found. And there we are freed from the guilt and consequences of our sin by the blood of Christ. There we are freed from the power of sin by the grace of Christ's Spirit. Well, this is a long discourse, and it continues today. And in our study, Jesus continues to teach in his wisdom, not just for the Jews, but for the benefit of all who would hear the word of God, and for our benefit today. The teaching of Christ now progresses naturally regarding those that we spoke of last week who were slaves to sin, who they belong to, and what characterizes these people. That's what we look at today. And those who are truly freed, that we spoke of last week, that Christ has freed, that Christ has ransomed by his blood, who they belong to, and what characterizes these children of God. We have three main points today. We observe in the first place, it's a question, what is meant by children of Abraham? What is meant by children of Abraham? There in verse 37 to 40, let's read it again. I know, Jesus says, that you are children of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father. You do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Abraham is our father. And then Jesus says, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. And so to the casual reader of these four verses, they almost seem to contradict each other. Christ confirms the truth that the Jews' natural descent was in fact from Abraham, the recognized father of the Jewish nation. To Abraham was promised, as you may remember, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And these Jews standing before Christ today were a living proof of that truth. Yet Christ goes on to say that Abraham is not your father because of their actions. And here's the confusion. Is he saying that because of their behavior, they would have been disowned by Abraham? Or did they not deserve to be numbered among Abraham's promised descendants? Well, the fact that their actions seem to disqualify them as Abraham's true children is made clear by Christ. Namely, they want to kill Christ. They refuse to accept his word, which is the word that he says, I receive from my father. And we have seen this, that Jesus' works was to do the works of his father. All these things, says Jesus, disqualify them from being true descendants of Abraham and even calling God their father. Now, an earthly father may, and many have, disown their own children. They disinherit them. They refuse to even recognize them, a son or daughter, based on their wicked behavior that has shamed the family name, and so they disinherit them. And some parents will not talk to their children for many reasons, but it does not make them any less children of their father. So there's clearly something more here. And firstly then, a first sub-point, physical descendants of Abraham. Verse 37, Jesus acknowledges this. I know that you are offspring of Abraham. Now we live in an age of scientific discovery, which is so advanced now, You can take a bit of your blood or spit in a glass and send it off, and you can trace your descendants, your genealogy, back hundreds of years conclusively. And there was no denying this physical connection to Abraham of these Jews before him. And neither yours. If you were born a Jew and you were Jewish by birth, you can probably trace that back conclusively. Well, we see later in this text, in fact, and later on we'll observe this next week, where they try to pronounce Jesus a Samaritan, a mixed breed, not a true Jew and father of Abraham, which also was a lie, because Christ was, in fact, a purer and of a more noble line, of a kingly line, of the line of David, of the tribe of Judah, of the root of Jesse, the line which was prophesied from old, from which the Messiah would come. And this is the Christ before them that they refuse to acknowledge this day. So there's clearly more to this, as we know, more to Jesus' words than a physical descendant of Abraham. And as we will see, there is no longer any benefit to the Jew of being a physical descendant of Abraham. And many Jews today still attach some spiritual value to their natural descent. But as the scriptures clearly teach, there is no benefit. You are no more special than any other nation spiritually. You just have some history. My father's parents were born in England. And my father, when he was alive, always joked of our family being of royal blood. For there was talk that our distant relative worked in the Queen's kitchen. And so my father said we were of royal blood. Well, even if this were true, and even if you can trace your ancestry back to some royalty hundreds of years ago, I hate to tell you this, but it does nothing for you today. It does not change anything, and it cannot change anything about who you are and who you belong to. And you may come from a long line of ministers and missionaries, and it is a blessing to have a godly heritage, but it makes no difference. If it affords you no spiritual favors and privileges in God's eyes, and certainly will not stand you in good stead if you die in your sin, as we observed before. Well, you can even be a descendant of Cain, or of Esau for that matter. That which is flesh is flesh. We are all but dust, and in our bodies, and to dust we shall return. Physical descendants of Abraham. We have, secondly, spiritual descendants of Abraham. Spiritual descendants of Abraham. If we examine the text more closely and consider further teaching the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, this will become clear to us. The promise in the Old Testament scriptures regarding the new covenant, the covenant of grace, which was to be ushered in by the servant of Jehovah, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This also makes it very clear for us. This was a spiritual covenant that involved the work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of men and women. And this promise went way beyond natural Israel, but came to Jew and Gentile alike. And the hint comes to us in verse 39. Look at verse 39. Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did." What is one of the things that Abraham did that is remembered right throughout the scriptures today and in the New Testament and points us to the fact that Old Testament saints were justified by faith, just as we are in the post-Messianic age? Well, this is it. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And the New Testament scriptures quote this in declaring that it is the just that shall live by faith. Abraham believed in the promises of God regarding living by faith, the promise of the new covenant, and all who are true Jews are not those who are by birthright, but are made up of those who believe God and believe in the Son whom He has sent. Listen to Romans 2 and verse 28. "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." And so this is about a righteousness that comes apart from the works of the law. And the only righteousness that these Jews before Christ this day knew was the one that was by works of the law. And the only righteousness that millions of people still cling to today. by works of the law and the good deeds that I do or don't do. This is the law of sin and death. The true children of Abraham are spiritual descendants. The works that Abraham did were works of faith, which carry no merit because faith is a gift of God. They believe God and his Son. Romans 4 and verse 3 to 8, listen to this. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Galatians 3:11 says the same thing. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. These are the true descendants of Abraham that Christ was talking about. That definition, most of these Jews were not children of Abraham. As Hebrews 11 tells us, all those heroes of the faith had this one thing in common: faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Verse 6, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. My friends, listening today, tuned in today, all humanity is only made up of two classes of people spiritually. Regardless of your earthly heritage or lineage, whether rich or poor, whether noble or royal, Jew or Gentile, it is made up of those who believe God and who believe in his Son, and of those who do not. Those who are children of God and those who are of their father, the devil. This is the only category of all humanity, and it carries truth not only in this life, but will be the distinguishing criteria in the life to come and judgment day, and there is no getting away from it. Consider Christ's words in Matthew 25 of the last judgment. To the righteous who with Abraham believed God, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep and goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to the unrighteous and to those who refuse to believe, he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And friends listening today, these are sober and serious words, and you may even take offense at my words today, but they are not my words. How dare you call me a child of the devil? Christ does. And what Christ says to these Jews applies to all who fit into this category. And I would plead with you today to consider the seriousness and the eternal weight of these things, and to call upon the name of the Lord, to come to Christ, to believe God and to believe on his Son, and to receive the Son. For he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. Do not die in your sin. There is pardon here. Here is free grace. Here is forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all of them who believe. This is what is meant by children of Abraham. To further clarify these things, we will consider in the second and third place, much shorter. In the second place then, we observe, number two, what are the characteristics of those who are of their father, the devil? What are the characteristics, according to Christ's words here in John 8, of those who are of their father, the devil? Let's read them, verse 41 to 44. You are doing the works your father did. They said to him, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The Jews' assumption here was, and we can see, that because they were of Abraham in the flesh, it naturally followed that God was their father. And yet Jesus says to them in verse 44, you are doing the works your father did. He clearly meant, as we just observed, that they belonged to a different father, the devil, since they were not spiritual descendants of Abraham. Again, they did not get it, so they reply, we were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And again, of course, Jesus is talking about matters of the heart and spiritual truth rather than their emphasis, which is natural, which in their minds gave them spiritual access and privilege to God the Father. But Jesus clears up this falsehood in his reply to them. And so we come to the proof or the characteristics that would make one a child of the devil as opposed to a child of God. Jesus tells us what they look like, not just them, but all who belong to their father, the devil. From our text, what is this? They do the devil's desires. Verse 44, you are doing the works your father did. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Like father, like son, this is your nature. This is what you do. And there are three things. Jesus points out three things that characterize those who are of their father, the devil. Number one, they practice the works of darkness. They practice the works of darkness. They do those things associated with their father. They commit the same sins he does, for this is their fallen and corrupt nature, as we observed last time. We were all born dead in our sins and our trespasses. And as God is light, so Satan is darkness and sin, and he does the works of darkness. And so it is with all his children who are enslaved, like him, to sin. Verse 4 of our text, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You remember, we go back to the Garden of Eden. Satan deceived Eve, lied to her. You shall not surely die, he said to her. And both Adam and Eve died that day in their sin. That made him a murderer from the beginning. You remember that at one time in the New Testament we read that Satan entered the heart of Judas Iscariot, so that Judas for 21 pieces of silver betrayed Christ. And as Christ predicted, it is they who put the Savior to death. And also at our Christ's temptation in the wilderness, we again witness the father of lies at work, promising Christ what was impossible, promising Christ which was not his to give in the first place. Wait, you say to me, wait, I may not be a Christian, but that is not me. I'm not like the devil at all. He's not my father. Listen to the Apostle John when he's an older man. He writes in 1 John 3 at verse 8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes the practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Second characteristic of those who belong to their father, the devil, is they cannot bear or understand Christ's word. They cannot bear or understand Christ's word. Verse 43 of our text, why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear my word. We see right at the outset of our passage today too, here is the distinguishing mark of those who are not in the faith, those who are in fact still dead in their sin and belong to their father, the devil. They cannot tolerate the word of Christ. Notice our verse 37, the first verse we read. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. My friends, brothers and sisters, the unbelieving friends that we have, family members and even colleagues, how hard it is sometimes to even get them into a church to come and hear the word of Christ. The gospel is offensive and unintelligible to them. Exactly what we see in these Jews. They could not bear to hear Christ's word. It had no place in them. They would not allow that word to take root in them or even to consider it, because it was the truth which is contrary to the sinful nature, and the sinful nature continues to exchange the truth of God for a lie in those who have not been illumined by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. They cannot bear to hear the word of God. The third characteristic of those who belong to their father, the devil, is they hate Christ and therefore God. They hate Christ and therefore God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. And again, the letter of 1 John affirms this. In fact, expounds this whole subject fully and brings our love for God and therefore our love for Christ down to three tests, which possibly you even remember and you know so well. The one who loves God and Christ will not hate his brother, but will love him. 1 John 4, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must love his brother also. The second one was that the one who loves God and Christ will obey him and walk in righteousness. The one who loves God and Christ will obey him and walk in righteousness. 1 John 1 and verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the one who denies, thirdly, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, cannot love God. 1 John 2:22, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. And again, I turn to you, my friend, if you don't believe yourself to be a Christian, but you are not convinced that you belong to your father, the devil, and perhaps before we looked at these things, you thought well of yourself, and even though you confess you have not bowed the knee to our Lord Jesus Christ, yet you did not think of yourself as a child of darkness, doing the work of your father, the devil. My friends, this is true. There is nothing that can remove you from this state but the blood of Christ and faith in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. You may consider yourself basically a good person, certainly compared to many others and the devil himself. You may feel and look good, but you are not. Outside of Christ, you are by nature a child of wrath, and rejecting Christ leaves you condemned before God. You remain a slave to sin, and you continue to belong to your father, the devil. These are not my words. This is the word of Christ. This is the word of God, and it is true. And all I say to you today is, do not delay. Come to Christ today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The characteristics of those who are of their father, the devil. And very briefly, we close. Thirdly and finally, what are the characteristics from our text of those who are children of God? What are the characteristics of those who are children of God? There's three verses here. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Verse 45 to 47, but because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not from God. So likewise, our text gives us three characteristics of the true children of God. And number one, straight from the text, they hear God's word. The believer hears God's word. Verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. And where is God's word that we may both hear and believe it? It is the very words of Christ as he speaks here. And it is the word of Christ as he speaks it in all the pages of the Old and New Testament. For it is the words of the Logos, the very word of God. Christ is the eternal Logos. He is the eternal incarnate Son who existed from all eternity, who was with and is God. And Hebrews tells us that perfect revelation has now come. The Old Testament types and shadows are now gone. God's perfect revelation has come. God has spoken clearly and finally in his Son, that has been revealed from heaven. And it is that Son who stands before these Jews, and his living and active word stands before every person today. Brothers and sisters, this is what characterizes the true believer. They hear and understand and love his word. It is not just a word. It is not just a dead letter or some message in the bottle that has finally arrived on our shore. It is through God's progressive revelation in the scriptures, the reality has come. The antitype is here, God incarnate, and he comes in word and in deed, and he speaks and he acts according to the eternal purposes of God from all eternity, for the salvation of his people. Long ago, Hebrews tells us, in many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. And believers hear the word of God. Believers love the word of Christ. The believer no longer listens to the beckoning of the world and of the flesh and of the devil. He no longer follows the prince of the power of this world, the devil. His ears are now tuned to the word of God. This word is clearly audible, and it drowns out the other voices wooing the believer to listen to them and to follow the voice of the world and of the devil. Oh, the word of Christ is what the believer hears. And the word of Christ is his life. Listen to the words of the hymn writer. He speaks, and listening to his voice, new life the dead receive. The mournful broken hearts rejoice, and the humble poor believe. True children of God hear the voice of God. The second characteristic of the children of God is they love Christ and keep his word. They love Christ and keep his word. Verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. Verse 46, which one of you convicts me of sin? I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? At verse 44, but because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. The believer loves Christ because he is one with the Father. Love for Christ is because he came down from the Father to do the Father's will. Love for Christ is because he laid down his life as a ransom for many. Love for Christ is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who became sin and poor for us. To love God in truth is to love the Son. To love the Son in truth is to love God. Love for Christ is a clinging to him as our only hope in life and in death. And love for Christ shows itself in this. Christ's words in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Brothers and sisters, here is the test for the true believer. He may sin, but he does not live in sin. He lives in the light and in obedience to the commands of Christ. This is his walk. This is his common practice. He's no longer a slave to sin, but he's a slave to righteousness. He cannot live habitually in sin and in darkness, but he practices righteousness. For Christ has become his righteousness, and he will follow Christ. He is Christ's disciple. And if you say you're a believer today, but you continue to live in sin, you deceive yourself. 1 John 3 and verse 6, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared is to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. John says it over and over again, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this, it's evidence who the children of God are, who the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. The third and final characteristic, the true children of God, they believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus is God. I can take you to hundreds of scriptures, but here the purpose of this Gospel of John is given to us. Chapter 20 and 31, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Jesus, in fact, declares this so clearly at the end of chapter 8, which we'll look at next Lord's Day, Lord willing. Here he equates himself with God by using the very name of God, the great I Am. Verse 58 of John 8, he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. The last two verses of the third gospel make it clear that those who receive this testimony of God about his Son, it is to them that eternal life is given. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. At verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Brothers and sisters, believers in Christ, let's take these things that Jesus says characterizes true children of God. Let's take them to heart. Let's examine ourselves anew that we are in the faith, that not only do we believe these things, but live according to them, that the word of Christ and the word of God is in fact a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We love it. This is how we walk. This is who we follow. We follow him. An unbeliever, again, it's become clear to you, hopefully, that what you thought is true was in fact not true. And you will see and hope and believe now that until you come to Christ for grace and mercy and for forgiveness and for new life in the Holy Spirit, that indeed you belong to your father, the devil. Christ alone can redeem us from the power and enslavement to that sin. Come, it is not too late, but it soon will be too late. Life is but a breath. We are like grass, here today and gone tomorrow. And I close and I urge you with this, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bless you for your truthful word. We bless you for the words of eternal life that come from our Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. How we thank you for your word that makes these things so clear to us. Lord, my prayer is that we as your children may continue every day to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, to examine ourselves daily in the light of your word, that we may see that we love you, that we love your word, that we obey you, that we hear the word of Christ, that we hear the voice and recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd, and it is him that we follow and not the works of darkness. Lord, we bless you for these things. how we thank you for the Holy Spirit who has renewed our mind and brought us to understand the word which is rejected by so many. Lord, I pray for those today who have heard your word and have not come to you by faith, who believe that they do enough good works, who believe themselves good enough not to be rejected, not to be judged, not to be condemned on that last day. Oh, Lord, may your word be open to their minds and their hearts today, that whoever does not believe on him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, is condemned already. Oh, Lord, by your Spirit, may your word bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. Bless us, Lord. Go with us in these difficult times. May your word continue to be an encouragement to believers to walk in the light just as he is in the light, and to be light and a means of salvation and a word of testimony to those who are perishing. We pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.